Next up in the programme, the PSNI have defended the decision to release a list of sexting terms on Facebook. Nurien Moore and PSNI shared a number of abbreviations that teenagers might use in text and online and asked if parents would know what they meant. The PSNI say the idea was to raise awareness and that parents can find more relevant terms online. Chief Superintendent George Clark joins me now. Good morning.
Morning, Vinny.
So some of these, I guess some parents might be aware of, depending maybe on your age, your technical knowledge, but some of these would look completely alien, almost like you were texting the wrong thing, you autocorrect and all that kind of thing, like GB, GAL, Get a Life, CTN, Can't Talk Now, and then obviously the more kind of sexual or suggestive terms. Yeah. Why did the PSNI want to do this in the first place?
I think the reality is that young people use text, they use the internet, they're familiar with technology in a lot of ways that parents, and, you know, I have said in previous interviews, I'm a parent before I'm a police officer, so I understand the challenges that parents have working and living in this digital era. So children will use text, they'll use internet, they'll use slang, and what we're trying to do by putting this out there is do two things. One is to educate parents about this particular aspect, but more importantly, to encourage parents to become educated and involved in their children's digital lives in the same way that they would be involved and educated in their physical lives.
Is Facebook the right place to try and do something like this? Because obviously Facebook is very popular with young people.
Well, Facebook is popular with people. Obviously, there's people should not be on Facebook if they're under 13, but I don't understand the logic of suggesting we would try and keep this away from young people whenever young people are the people that are using this terminology. We use a range of media platforms, be it Facebook, be it Twitter, be it face-to-face briefings, be it whatever. And we want to encourage young people and adults to have conversations about this sort of conversation, to understand what they're talking about, to use the language that enables them to protect their children and protect themselves.
Young people might, of course, say that this is an example of parents of older people trying to snoop in and take advantage of a world that they feel they can be themselves. Are you wanting to encourage parents to check their kids' Facebook and their social media to be completely across what they're sending, what they're receiving?
Let me put it another way. No parent would allow people to come and go from their home to physically be in their child's lives, be picking their child up from home and taking them to an event. I would hope parents wouldn't let strangers do that. You're involved in your child's life. You owe it to your child to be an active and interested parent to know what's going on. Don't use the word snooping, but instead use the word caring.
It's one of those things, I guess I go back to the fact that there will be quite a range of knowledge between parents that are perhaps in their 60s and parents that are they're in their 30s in terms of awareness and understanding of how this works. Is there a real danger? Are parents aware of a real danger when it comes to social media and how the potential to talk to a complete stranger, maybe one of your friends, a friend of a friend, or someone that you've never met that lives a few streets over?
The reality is that for a lot of young people, I think it was Eric Schmidt from Google said that young people are either asleep or they're online. So we have to accept that this is real life for a lot of young people. We shouldn't have a distinction that this is virtual or real. It's how they live. As a parent, you have to be involved and you have to be interested. That does involve you taking the responsibility and taking the initiative to go out and educate yourself. This is one example of the PSNI, the police putting information out. There are other websites out there like Think You Know, there's Get Safe Online, there's NSPCC materials such as the NetAware app. There are things out there that people can look at to educate themselves. And I go back to one point that you've made about snooping on children or whatever else. As a parent, be involved in your child's life, your young person's life. Be interested. The time to have the conversation about internet safety is now, and it's when they're young. It's to build up that relationship that they can come to you and talk to you if they see something that makes them feel uncomfortable, if they think they've made a mistake. Rather than you becoming involved as some sort of enforcer or judge about this, get involved, be interested in their life, have open conversations with them.
Okay. Chief Superintendent George Clark, thank you very much for your time this morning. What do you think? How across your kids' Facebook and social media, Twitter, all that kind of thing? There's social media networks out there that even I'm not aware of. 03030805555. Are you constantly logging in? Do you have your kids' login details so you can have a look yourself whenever you feel like it? Fionnuala Meredith and Angela Epstein join me this morning. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
So, Fionnuala, these terms, some of them I was aware of, things like GYPO, get your pants off. And I know some of these are mildly humorous, but at the same time, some of them are like IWSN, I want sex now. Like, some of them are really worrying because if you looked at that, you would think nothing of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, a lot of this stuff is a complete mystery to parents, and I must say, I had never heard of any of them. I have to say, I also showed it to my teenage daughter, this list, and she just laughed out loud because she said, these aren't even terms that kids use anymore. You know, so that's how fast it moves. That's how fast is their teenage language, especially online, changes. And, you know, parents are always going to be playing catch-up. I mean, I do think that what the police are doing is very well-meaning. I think, at the very least, even if this particular sort of dictionary of terms that they've given us, even if that's not particularly useful in itself, I think the important thing is, you know, it starts a conversation. It helps you to sort of begin a conversation with your kids, especially if they're younger, because I think it's right, you do need to do this when they're younger before they really get immersed in it. And just to start, you know, being aware of what they're doing, trying to understand, trying to brief yourself on safety issues. But ultimately, you know, you've got to trust them because you can't be watching them 24/7.
Surely is that not part of the role as a parent? Do you have the login for your kids' Facebook or their social media?
Well, not anymore, considering they're 18 and 22. They'd be absolutely outraged if I did that.
When they were younger, would you have had that? Yeah.
When they were younger, no, I didn't have that. But what I sort of, the arrangement I had with them is I sort of said, you know, anything you do, I'd like it to be something you're happy enough with me to be seeing. And they would, you know, we would have had, again, this is like, time has changed so quickly, but we would have had the computer in the living room where people are going to be walking about, and it was all kind of public. So I didn't want to overplay the
You're putting a lot of trust in your kids there, though, and I guess it's difficult for parents to apply that across the board because some children, some adults, of course, as well, have different levels of maturity. So in terms of how they would handle something like that, or maybe how they would handle the attention from a stranger. Angela Epstein, I want to bring you in at this point. Do you think, is this the right kind of thing that the police, the PSNI, should be doing?
Well, I echo what Fionnuala says in terms of it being well-meaning. I mean, it doesn't hurt, but also language amongst kids is very fluid. And as soon as they get even the slightest nod that parents are in on the know, then they move on. You know, they shift the goalposts and they don't like it when we use stuff that they do. So things like, even innocent things like lol, you know, laugh out loud, which lots of people of my age now use, you know, my kids cringe at because it's just as if we are sort of trying to occupy their linguistic territory and they move on. I think the fundamental message has to be, and what maybe the police would be more helpful in sort of guiding us towards doing, is saying, look, these are the serious threats. Let's sort of not pull any punches here. There are people out there who want to talk to you in a way that is not appropriate. They may not be the people you think they are when they are online. You can't see them, you can't hear them. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we have to bring up our children to be aware that not everybody wants to be a nice, friendly person. And the thing is about having the whole computer in the lounge thing, I mean, that's, unfortunately, with respect, such an outdated
concept now. That's what I said. It's over.
Fionnuala, is there a concern that this could be introducing? Because obviously, as we've said already to the policeman, that you know, a lot of young people use Facebook, so there could be some children that aren't aware of this, that stumble across these, and it's almost suggesting to them, oh, look at this. I go back to the list of things, number 46, LMIRL, let's meet in real life. Like that in itself is frightening.
That is a bit of a chilling one, isn't it? But I also think you've got to keep it in proportion. A lot of this kind of stuff is just going to be among kids of the same age. And let's face it, kids have always wanted to push the boundaries and explore and be sexual with each other. I mean, you know, teenagers will do that. I think it's important.
But in terms of these phrases, you know, they might think, well, I'm out of the loop. You know, it's maybe cool to use these, although the fact that adults are now talking about it might have the opposite effect.
They won't, exactly. They won't think it's cool anymore. I know what you're saying. I think, again, that comes back to, you know, as a parent, you need to be really well briefed yourself. You need to make sure that they understand the very real risks there are, but equally you've got to keep it in proportion. And I think the NSPCC has made that point, you know, that you kind of, a lot of this, you know, the fact that kids want to have this language is, it's normal, it's natural, it's not necessarily something to panic about. If they're doing it among themselves, I wouldn't sweat it. I think the thing is kids need to be extremely clear about what the real risks are.
When I was originally reading this story on Belfast Live, one thing that popped into my head, there's a 13 age limit on Facebook, and I was wondering, Angela, how many parents allow their kids to flaunt that, and will set them up an account, maybe when I've heard of people, young people as young as 8 years old having a Facebook account.
Well, there are, I know, plenty of people that do, and there's a tremendous irony here, because what do parents do? They use Facebook all the time to showcase what fantastic things their kids are. Oh, so pleased that, little Johnny just passed his spelling test. Can't believe that she was named Brownie of the Year at the, and they put their pictures of their kids on Facebook. Now, I know there are all sorts of privacy settings, but, as parents, lots of us don't really lead by example, because we're always putting our kids out there, because we love using social media to... Parents love nothing more than talking about their kids.
So are we setting a bad example?
Pardon?
Are we setting a bad example?
In the sense that we are sort of, putting the information out there. We don't seem to have any breaks in that respect anyway. I mean, my own kids have said to me, and I've sort of fallen into that trap myself, so, guilty as charged, and said, we're in a really nice place and I'm taking a picture of them all together doing whatever. And I'll say, don't put it on Facebook. Enjoy the moment. They're now telling me what to do. The other thing I would say very quickly about this new police initiative is what it doesn't legislate for is the fact that kids talk to each other. So as much as you as parents can say, if you see something like, are you horny? Kids all the time are dialoguing with each other. That's why they learn their swear words. That's why they learn all the stuff about sex they want to talk about. So it's all very well as parents, but it's very hard, like Finola says, to play catch up. And this is the bit where the police really sort of need to address it as anything, about the way kids talk to each other, because kids will tell themselves, oh, this is acceptable because blah and blah are talking about it. And they actually create their own sort of microclimate where things are more acceptable to them.
Okay. So but there's no way to police that. That's the trouble with that, is that actually, whether you're talking about the real police or just general figures of authority like parents and teachers, there's no way to actually police kids' language. And to be fair, I don't think it's right to do that. I think that they're entitled to have a certain amount of privacy as long as they're well informed about the risk.
Okay. All right. Angela Epstein and Fionnuala Meredith, thank you very much for your time this morning. If you want to share your thoughts, would you let your under 13-year-old child have Facebook access?